Now I understand what you mean. So this guy's in a you know, multi-dwelling unit, you know, like an apartment or a condo complex, and he's got all the meters on the outside wall of one of his apartment elements, and so he's worried about the combined fields emanating from his one, let's say, bedroom or living room or some other space wall and going out to all the other apartments. So all the combined electromagnetic forces are riding on those wires right there, concentrated and coming to a main distribution bus right there. So I guess that's what he's freaking out about. That almost makes sense at some level. But anyway, go ahead, Doc.
Yeah, when you think about it, WABC's been sitting down there in Lodi, just off Essex Street and Route 17 for years and years and years, and you don't hear anybody complaining about a cancer cell or something down there. I know every once in a while you'll see one of these places where some kids, two or three kids develop cancer in the same town, and right away they're complaining about something causing this and, you know, whatever. But, I mean, there's a case where there's a radio station putting out 50 kilowatts, and you don't hear anything about that. So, you know, I think this guy maybe is one of the sensationalists of doing a sensational kind of a thing here, and, oh, it could do this, oh, it could do that, yeah, but is it really, you need how much exposure do people are getting, and, you know, what amounts to is that I don't think people are getting that much exposure. You have these outfits like this, these legal outfits like White Mites in Luxembourg, instead of advertising cases against cancer and mesothelioma like I do, they'll be taking cases for people who have cancer from cell phones. And I don't see any of that being advertised on the TV. Back in that W2JK.
We also have any comments.
WB2PDL.
Again, your call, sir.
WB2PDL. Richard.
Good evening, Richard. Sorry about that. Dropped the radio. Oops. Two radios going here. WB2PDL. Go right ahead. KTB Air. WCTTP.
Do you see any problem with the power meters? Because they're all on the ICM band, and they only transmit on demand.
Well, that's right. Power meters themselves do. You know, there's, you know, I don't know if you guys have seen, I mean, the Homer system, which is the Hackensack Water uses the Homer reading system. And it's at 900 megs and it's pulled. And so the radio does not transmit unless it's pulled as the truck drives by on the street. I do not have a Homer unit. But at some point I probably will. But this is not the time. I didn't want to have another RF source that I didn't control in my world. Not to mention that by Friday I had this vision that I would have a water bill that's even more absurd than the one I have now. I don't know if you guys have seen, you know, along our utility poles, we have these solar panels, thousands of them across the state of New Jersey. And what's interesting about those is that they're grouped, I think groups are 8 or 10, I think it's 8, to communicate, you know, over power lines to each other very infrequently, but from time to time they send telemetry data between them. And one in 10 or one in every 8, I forget, you can look at PSE&G's site about it. The way it's set up is one of those has a cell modem, and it provides uplink telemetry for that cluster of solar panels. And I happen to know the company that has the cell contract for that. That would be my company, AT&T. And, but somebody else collects the data and summarizes it and then forks it out to as under contract to in this case PSE&G or one of the other utilities here in New Jersey. Over.
You know, that sounds, I didn't know that triggered by cell phones, Gordon. But I got a question for you. I'm considering, I got a little Kenwood that's coming for the 33 centimeter band, and I was wondering what you think about a J-pole for it.
I don't know about the Kenwood 33 centimeter radio. I know Elenco has one that's 33 centimeters and 1.25 meters. So 22 and 903 is 7. So my guess is if Kenwood's putting out a radio in that band, it's going to perform very, very well.
Oh, no, this is just a commercial radio that I'm adapting for 33 centimeters. I was wondering, what do you think about for an antenna of the J-pole, WB2CPL back to net?
Okay, well, you know, building a J-pole on 903 is going to be very cute to see. I would make it out of probably 3/8 tubing, maybe even 1/4 inch tubing. Maybe even like number 10 hard drawn or soft drawn copper. what the hell? That sounds cool. Yeah, why not? That sounds wicked cool.
Do you think that the smaller diameter is more effective than like a 1/2 inch copper pipe?
I think it's 903. I think 1/2 inch copper pipe, you know, so broadband, I don't know if you're going to be able to make it resonant. I mean, you could try. 1/2 inch is probably the largest I'd consider. Does that answer your question? Yeah, am I making it into the repeater? Again. So yeah, a 1/2 inch would be about as big as I'd ever want to try on 903.
JamesPohl.com, he said he would make one for me for $32. I don't think I can beat that, Gordon.
I think you should go down to Home Depot and see if you can borrow a torch or a large soldering iron for somebody, or arrange yourself to meet somebody down at Barrett at night and just build the antenna there and be done with it.
Well, it sounds like probably a good idea. So you think I would probably be better doing something like some 1/4 inch pipe instead of the 1/2 inch pipe?
Yeah, I think I would use 1/4 inch, and I would just solder it up. I would tack a piece of good quality coax to the feed point, and away I go.
That sounds like a good idea, because I think I'm just going to put an end connector on it and feed it with LM400, and I think that should work.
I think it'll work marvelously well. Absolutely. So I don't think you need anything particularly mechanically robust. I think an end connector, like you were saying, probably use a flange and just a small piece of like number 10 or 12 wires across the back of the feed point, you know, of the coax connector to the opposite pole. And just tack the flange of the connector on the other pole, and you're good to go.
Gordon, thanks for the advice. I really appreciate that. You're a great Elmer.
No, I just know where all the bodies are buried. All right. Anybody else have any thoughts for this question?
KD2CRB, question.
Go right ahead.
Eventually, I'm going to be moving toward a mobile unit. I was just wondering, are there any retailers or radio stores or anything like that that specialize in installation of ham radio units in an automobile?
I don't know if there's anybody who installs a radio, but any number of the audio places will run a fused pair of wires from your battery through your firewall and, you know, give you a nice, generous bit of slack wherever you want in your passenger compartment. I would recommend having, like, number four wire run from the battery through the firewall and properly, vomited coming through the firewall so that you don't end up rubbing on a raw piece of metal and causing a short, and then bring it up to whatever you're going to use for radio equipment, either a single radio or to something connectorized to like a rig runner or something like that. Over.
Yeah, I was also told you should keep the radio as close to the battery as possible. Over.
Yeah, so any of the stereo stores will run cable from the battery through the firewall to wherever you want in the passenger compartment and make it as reasonably short as possible. Make sure there's enough slack so you can have flexibility to what you want to do, you know, at least in providing your major demarcation point. You can always extend it there with the detail from the radio itself. But what you want to make sure is it comes off the battery, that it's fused properly, and that it's grommeted properly coming through the firewall, and that you have both the positive and negative coming off the battery brought directly to wherever it is you want to install your radio, okay?
Okay, thank you. Just a comment regarding the RF. I have a handheld. I keyed it one time in my house, and I noticed that my shredder started working. So I was just a little concerned on that. This is Stu, KD2CRB, passing that.
How are you?
Through the fire.
and often that will be caulked or RTV'd to make sure that it's a good seal. So those are my comments, K2EIR.
What you want to do in addition to a good seal is you also want to make sure that there's no possibility of friction by the raw metal edge to violate the insulation and the vibration and temperature over time, ultimately causing a short. I still like bigger wire. I ran the number 4 from the back of my van to the battery. I actually, if I need to, I can actually jump start my car. Not pleasantly, but I can jump start my car from the rear of my truck. Just inside the rear door is a electrical box.
WB2PBL, a larger conductor diameter would have more skin effect, and that should provide more juice than two separate wires.
Okay, let me also introduce you to that. DC cross-sectional area. So theoretically, solid wire is better. Not that automotive wire. Cross-sectional area is better.
Question about the skin effect. Depends on the frequency. I usually play with the frequencies of kilohertz, and that's the beauty of it. About 200 kilohertz, the skin effect is basically very much visible. Now, is it? No, it is not. You take a 1 millimeter wire and you take 10 millimeter wire. You do not have more juice. It's a power dissipation that is important. Who's going to take a stand on it? 10 to a share.
N2XVM. Oh, I felt smart.
Okay, very good. Well, anybody else have any comments? Thank you, Wesley.
K2EIR. I'll just make it quick. A booster supply is always a nice thing to have. And again, what kind of wire and whether you have a booster supply may depend on how much power your rig is drawing. K2EIR.
Yeah, always buy a second. Always buy more power than you need. 200 watts worth in the car.
KC2ORX disconnected.
comments for the next one. I want to thank everybody for coming to the net tonight. It's very, very interesting. And Noel, you get to be the net controller records for tonight. You can meet my voice, no problem. We just send Dave the Rastaban, and you're good to go. I want to thank the Chestnut Ridge Radio Club for using the repeater, and I will work on getting a better signal for next week. This is KQBAR, WQ2QPG, also clear. Night night.
Thank you for being on your net, and I appreciate listening to you guys. I wish you a very nice evening, and have a good night, and to actually.
Thanks, Leslie. Appreciate it. No problem, and don't worry about the idiots. WQTTT.
This is Sue, KD2CRB, wishing everybody a good night, 73.
Corner, Charlie. How you doing? Did you find out anything about that antenna at the industrial park?
No, I found the industrial park, but couldn't get any pictures of the park or find out any information on it.
Okay, roger that.
Bayside Athletic Field, I think it's called. Are you near there?
Yes, I am. I'm only about 5 minutes from there.
All right. I did a little investigation on the elevation, and out of the places in Bayside that they had elevation settings for, that was the highest point. That was 101 feet above sea level.
Okay. All right. So that's not too far from me. That's about 5 minutes away, walking distance.
Yeah, okay. Do you know if it's uphill or downhill to get to it?
It's, let me think. To get to it, Bayside Athletic Field, you would have to go that way and that way. It's basically about the level. It's about the same.
Okay, very good. N1MUQ. Well, without being at your house with a GPS, like I said, that's 101 feet. Everything else was real low. There was a cemetery that was like, I think, 26 feet. Above sea level, of course, the Bayside Marina or Yacht Club, that's at 0 feet above sea level. Of course, that's at the water, so that's why. So apparently you're in the highest point or of Bayside, Queens.
Okay, roger that, Charlie. Very interesting, very interesting.
Yeah, that might explain why you do so well. Because you're up above everything else in that area.
Oh, yeah, yeah, definitely. No doubt about it, man. So how you making out?
Good. I mean, you know, I just started. I'm still on the Merritt Parkway in Connecticut. Actually, am I? No, I crossed over into New York. I got to stop for coffee, though, this morning. I'm a wee bit on the groggy side. I could have easily stayed home today. But I've got to go to work. And give me 1 minute. I want to listen to the traffic.
Roger.
KC2HBR, N1MUQ.
N1MUQ, KC2HBR.
It sounds like it's going to be a fun commute in no matter which way I go. So I'm going to get my coffee and then decide whether I'm going over the Tappan Zee or over the George.
Roger that.
Well, my son went to a college that he's going to, gave out tickets to a national game. Free tickets, so he got a ticket and went to the national game last night. Sent us a picture from his seat.
The pay station.
Eating the seat. And he could see the Washington Monument.
Because it's daytime, that's how you know, but I think you told me it just sounds a little bit more authoritative.
I'm sorry, John, I doubled with you. Go ahead.
Nothing much, Charlie. I was just saying that there's a big difference, you were saying, between this audio and the 2000 audio.
Yeah, I mean, neither one is terrible, of course. I prefer the 2000. It's more well balanced. This audio is a little bit narrower maybe, but it's good for cars. You know, it's good for while I'm driving. Give me a minute. I'm here at the mobile station. I'll run in and grab a cup of coffee. N1MUQ.
Okay, roger that. KC2HBR. Clear on listening.
KC2HBR and 1MUQ. Mobile.
That's all. KC2HBR.
Got to see something pleasant this morning. Hop on.
Roger that then, roger that, Charlie. Alrighty then. Everything's hunky-dory here at the job site. That reminds you oh so much of Florida for some reason.
I guess pretty soon they'll be setting up that that fall scene in front, the pumpkin and, you know, all the hay and stuff.
Yes, they will, very shortly.
I take it that's done when you come in, or do they do it while you're on duty?
Oh, are you kidding me? That's done when I come in.
I called you last night. Geez, I don't even know what time it was. Crap, I can't remember. To give you that information, but nobody answered the phone. I guess you were out.
Roger that.
I'm going to go over the George today. I hope I don't regret it.
Oh, man, I hope not.
I mean, I'll get over it, but hopefully it's not bumper to bumper.
Worst comes to worst, you know. Get over it.
I didn't copy that last transmission. You got noisy.
Alrighty, Charlie. Yeah, so, you know, right now they got the summer scene. Like I said, very, very shortly there'll be a big pumpkin. Maybe you were here last year. I guess you remember there was a huge pumpkin. You didn't. I think you were asking me if it was real.
Yeah, that's why I mentioned it, because I remember the pumpkin.
Yeah, they're very seasonal over here. They like to end up for Christmas time, of course, for the holidays. You know, they go off, they have all the lighting, and, you know, it's very festive.
That's nice. Looks like a nice place to work.
Oh, it is, especially my shift. At my shift, it's like nobody there to bother you. You walk around in the middle of the night, stargazing, playing ham radio. You do what you want, really. I'm telling you, it's unbelievable.
Yeah, absolutely. Is the money good?
Excellent. Excellent. It couldn't be any better, Charlie. I kid you not. I'm very happy.
Well, that's good. That's the most important thing, to be happy with what you do.
You know why I'm happy? It's because it's stress-free. You come in, and the hardest part about the job is getting out of bed and getting here.
Hey, tell me about it. What time do you leave there?
At about 5 minutes to 8 in the morning.
I imagine by then there's a few cars coming out. I guess people go to work early.
Yeah, but those are the residents, and they have, if you notice, there are 4 gates. There are 2 on each side. Well, the gates closest to the gatehouse, those are the ones I deal with. But in the morning, everybody's just going out the resident gate because it's people that live here. So I don't even have to deal with that. They have what they call clickers. They let themselves out their own gate.
Oh, okay. That's cool. Do you know any of them, you know, on a regular basis? Like, you know, do any of them know you? Say, hey, John, how's it going? Or any of that?
Should hope so. I'm here for 15 years.
Yeah, that's what I would think, too.
So I don't have to deal with nobody but the visitors. And when you work midnight to 8, how many visitors are you going to have? So even in the morning when the people are leaving, I'm asleep. I'm in my chair. I'm snoozing. And they're just leaving on their own. They got their clickers. They're opening their gate, letting themselves out.
How's your magazine supply?
No good. No good, Charlie. Very bad. But it's not a big deal, Charlie. You know what I do? I go to the local Barnes & Noble, which is a couple of blocks away, and I read the magazines there, and then I just put them back on the shelf.
No. I meant your ham radio supply, magazine supply.
But that's what I mean. They have popular communications, and they have monitoring times. They used to carry CQ, but no more, as of about 2 years ago.
What about your subscription to CQ?
I'd let it go by the wayside.
Did you really? Those are nice magazines. I like those. I think I'm going to ask for either that or QSD for like 3 years for Christmas, maybe.
You got to understand, it's very hard for me to do experimentation and enjoy my station, because what you got to understand is it's my mom's house, and she's kind of like anti-ham, you know? She's got a bumper sticker on her car that reads, "I speed up to get away from hams." So, believe me, she's not a big fan.
Yeah, okay. Well, that's cool. Now, what about the house out in Quogg or Cutchogue? When you go out there, do you go out there by yourself?
No. I really am not that particularly... I mean, I like Cutchogue. It's a beautiful place and everything. It wouldn't be a bad place to retire or whatever, but if you're a young guy and, you know, it's nice to go for a day or two, but... You know what it is, Charlie? I'm born and raised in Queens. Home is where the heart is. So I might go out there for a day or two, but after that, you know, I'm yearning to come back home.
Yeah, I can see your point. I mean, I don't know if I'd ever yearn for Brooklyn or Queens, but that's how I feel about Sag Harbor. I could live out there the rest of my life, but... It's just so damn expensive. I was talking to a guy yesterday. I think I told you who sells real estate out there. And it's, you know, it's all big bucks now.
Roger that. KC2HBR. So, how you making out?
Good. I'm about 5 minutes away from the Major Deegan over here in Yonkers, New York. Talked to a guy in Yonkers, not too far from the racetrack. He's a music teacher. I think he's a music teacher in one of these schools around here. And he's got a ham radio station at the, at the school. I'm not sure. Because he told me he was talking to me from work. Maybe he just had an HT. I don't know. I don't remember. But I haven't hooked up with him yet, though, since that. I just happened to catch him on... The hell did I talk to him on? 220, I think he was on.
So you see, I wouldn't mind putting up another antenna or two, but the mom, she's kind of like anti-ham, and she would be kind of like busting my chops, like, but why do you need more antennas? You already have two. Two is enough. She doesn't understand the concept of, like, different bands and different, like, gain, factors and all that. She figures that you have two antennas. That's enough. That's all you need, you know. Even two is too much. You should have only had one.
And when I'm UQ Mobile, I'm getting ready. In fact, that's why I'm hoping to hear Steve eventually. I don't know what the hell happened to him. To build an antenna. This Emergency Amateur Radio Club in Hawaii sells these, what they call NFED antennas, with a matching network, which consists of a toroid as an inductor and a short piece of RG-174 coax as a capacitor. They'll either make the antenna for you for a price, or they'll sell you the parts, complete with the box that it mounts in, and you put it together. I'm getting ready to build one of those. They have one that goes 40 through 6, and this box goes at the end, one end of the wire, then the other end of the wire gets pulled up into a tree or something. They're good for people with limited space or don't want anything that's very obtrusive. I'm making one for 20 meters. I want to get the 20 meter vertical up, see how that does on the band. I like 20 a lot. I want to see if going vertical helps. If the antenna works out well, I'll send you some information on it. Like I said, they're cheap. The 40 meter one, 40 through 6, is like 40, I think it's 40, $4 or something. It's pretty cheap. And they're very inconspicuous. You would mount this box somewhere, either on your house or on a tree or whatever, run the coax from the box to your shack, and then you just have one wire going up in the air. And they're not real long, the wires. They only handle 100 watts, which is fine for me. But I want to see how well this 20-meter one works.
Believe it or not, my mom said that my antennas are ugly. Can you believe it? They're so easy on the eye, you know, it's not even funny. But yet when I asked her one day, I said, what do you think of them? Do you like them? She was like, no, to me they're ugly.
Yeah, I know. You've got to be a ham to appreciate an antenna. My wife feels the same way.
And tried to candy coat it a little bit. I was like, but what do you mean they're ugly? I was like, look at that white one. I mean, the white one's beautiful. It's all fiberglass. It's nice and, you know, small. And then I, you know, I praised the big aluminum jammy. I was like, how about the big aluminum one? It's so nice and clean and shiny. But no, it's just like I couldn't, there's no swaying at her at all. It was just like, no, they're ugly. I don't like them. And I was like, all right, whatever.
Did she say anything about the one with the bent tip?
You know, she doesn't like either or. She doesn't like either or. She thinks they're both ugly.
Yeah, it's too bad. Did you ever take her in your shack and let her see the people you talk to or hear the people you talk to and how you talk to people all over the world?
She's not a fan, Charlie. Let me just put it to you that way. She couldn't care less. She knows all about it. I've been hamming for about 13 years, and prior to that I was on the CB and I was talking worldwide. So it's not like she doesn't know anything about it. She's just not a big fan.
Yeah, I guess it's one of those things, you either love it or you hate it, you know, you can, there's no in-between. I love it, though, I really do. I got stuff in the car now that I'm going to check out when I get to work, trying to decide. They offer four different types of kits for these antennas. You can either buy the antenna built, you can either buy it with all the parts and build it yourself, or you can just buy it with a few of the parts that are hard to get, the toroid. And the wire, the enamel wire for winding it. Or you can just buy the enclosure and go out and buy your own parts. I'm trying to decide what I want to do. I probably, just to save myself a lot of legwork, I should probably just buy the whole kit, which is like $35. And you get everything there and you just build it yourself. Real simple antenna to build. I'm looking forward to getting it built and using it. I just got to figure out where I'm going to mount it.
What I like about the big antenna, you know, the big one that I have, what I like about it, Charlie, is that it covers 80 meters through 6 meters continuously. In other words, there are no gaps in frequency coverage. It, you know, it receives from 2 to 90 megahertz. That's why, you know, it's like wideband receive. So it receives from 2 to 90 megs, but it transmits from 3.5 to 57 megahertz, and like I said, that's continuous, with a 1.1 SWR, and the thing gets out. I mean, really, I've worked a lot of different bands with it. I wouldn't be surprised I could even operate on 160 with it.
Yeah, I know. Verticals are good for DX, for long haul. The problem with the vertical is it's hard for me and you to talk on HF. It's just the angle of radiation shoots everything over my head, and that's what makes it difficult. I mean, I can hear you on some bands. That one time we worked on 40 was pretty good, but we haven't done it since.
Yeah, but, you know, I'm not trying to make fun or anything, but Charlie, that's not me. That's you. And that's because you're busy. You have a family, and you don't have time to devote to that. But what I'm saying to you, in other words, is anytime you're ready, you let me know. We can do that a lot. It's up to you.
Oh, yeah, but what I'm saying is the few times that we have tried, I think out of all the times we've tried, and it's not that many, maybe 5 or 6, One time we had good propagation between the two of us. I guess the band was short or whatever. But the rest of the time, you know, I struggle to hear you.
Yeah, but you know what, Charlie? That's the beauty of having a radio like I do. You know, if you can't talk to somebody far away on one band, well, there's a lot of other bands to do it on. And same thing locally. All right, maybe HF doesn't work for us, but we always got VHF and UHF.
Yeah, absolutely. Oh, Jesus. I can see the bridge now. Yeah, it is moving kind of slow, but at least it's moving. I'm hoping the... wow. Jesus. I'm hoping the lower level is open. If it is, I can scoot by all this traffic. If it's not, and I got to go on the upper level, it ain't going to be fun.
The only thing I don't like about the big antenna is the cost. The big antenna costs $400, believe it or not.
Yeah, well, you're paying for the technology that gets all those bands in that antenna. You're paying for that matching section at the bottom and all the time that went into building that. But I tell you, $400 for an antenna, you could have really gotten yourself, you know, something that was real efficient, much more efficient than a vertical like that. But you need the real estate to put it up, you know. I'm talking like a wire antenna, a big Carolina Wyndham or something. But you need the real estate, which I think you have, but you don't have the trees. You need trees to put these things up.
I have city trees. I have city trees. Not my own trees. I have city trees surrounding my property. But, you know, the city guys could come and start cutting away at any time. You know, and the antenna could come down. They come and they do seasonal pruning.
This jerk off in front of me, man. I tell you, I wish I had a cannon mounted on this car. And this traffic was very deceiving. There was a tractor trailer that was broken down, and all the backed up traffic that I saw was behind him. So once I got in front of him, now I'm on the approach to the lower level, so that was a piece of cake. It was a lot cooler than I thought it would be. I'm glad I don't have to go on the upper level, though. That's packed.
Charlie, you know what made that antenna bend, right? You know what bent that antenna? That was the tornado that hit Queens. That antenna is rated at 67 miles an hour maximum, all right, wind speed. The friggin' tornado was over 100 miles an hour, and it bent that section. It bent number four, as you can see. But it works. It gets out. It's still working, man. I was doing 5.9 in Dubai. I've worked Colombia. I've worked stations in Europe, up in Canada, California. So it gets out. I gotta say the truth. It definitely does what it's, you know, advertised as doing, which is covering 80 meters through six. Because I've worked every single band. I've worked 80, 40, 20, 17. No, I'm sorry. Okay. I haven't worked 30 because I don't know CW.
Yeah, I don't even listen over there. That's cool. And what kind of signals are you getting back? You know, what kind of signals do you see on the radio?
Yeah, very nice signals. The guy in Dubai was coming in nice and clear, no problem at all. He was working stations throughout the world. You know, he was one of those stations. And, you know, everybody was 5.9 to him. I called him maybe 3-4 times. He came right back to me. He's like, "You're 5.9 in Dubai, sir."
Yeah, but I mean, what was he to you? What was the meter reading, if you remember?
Believe it or not, he was 5.9.
Okay. I mean, consistently, with my wire antenna, I consistently pick guys that are, you know, 20, 30 over. I had one guy the other day who was like 60 over. I mean, he was really strong.
What are you telling me? This guy was pinning your meter? Man, you should have looked out your window. I bet you he was in a mobile right outside of your house.
Yeah. Do you ever get, you know, big signals like that?
Yes.
Yeah, okay, I got 20 yes. You were noisy for most of that, but I did hear you say 20 yes. Yeah, I get that on 40, even sometimes. But, you know, that's because that's the majority of people out there are horizontally polarized, so that helps. And I guess with a wire antenna that's, you know, like 60 feet or 100 feet long, you've got a bigger capture area, too.
Can I tell you, can you hear me now?
Yeah.
Yeah, I never get 60 dB. No, never 60 or 40. But like I said, 20 dB signals, yes, I do get those. But Charlie, you know what I want to do? I want to have you come over and we'll put up a wire antenna when Mom's away. When Mom's away one day, I'd like to have you come by. We'll throw up a wire. Throw an extra piece of coax through the antenna hole. You know, because I have a hole. I drilled the hole in the side of the wall, you know, to my house. That's how I brought the antenna wires in, through a hole that I drilled. So there's still room for one more. So we'll get some coax and we'll put it up, you know. Because don't forget, Kenwood's got two HF connections. Two of them for HF and 6, all right? Not one for HF and one for 6. It's got two different connections, and each one is good for HF and 6 meters.
Yeah, that's cool. Geez, I'm surprised your mother didn't have a cat over the hole through the house.
Yeah, well, you know, it's like I told her well in advance. I told her, look, I'm going to put up a station just like I did at the old house. And I said, there's no other way to bring it in other than me making a hole through the vinyl siding.
Well, I mean, you know, if you talk to me first, of course, I don't think I knew you then. There are other ways. There's that mount, that plate that goes in your window. Those you can make yourself. And you pull your window down on top of it, and it's got the bulkhead connectors on it. You could have gone that route without drilling holes.
But the thing you don't understand is my windows crack. They're not sliders. They're crackouts.
Hey, you got noisy. I heard something about a crack house.
I said they crank out. The windows are not sliders. They don't slide up and down. They crank out. Their windows are crankouts.
Okay, I see what you mean. Yeah. You've got modern windows. And that makes it a little bit more difficult. Nearly impossible, I guess.
Yeah, so, I mean, that's why you... What do you think? I wanted to drill a hole in my house? Are you kidding me, man? Believe me, that's the last thing I wanted to do. The house is beautiful. But, you know, we did what we had to do.
Yeah, where'd you drill it? Right near your bedroom window?
Yeah, right near my bedroom window, yeah.
You just pass the wires through, or do you have a tube going through there? They sell things that you can use. You drill a hole, and then you put this tube in. Gives you a little insulation, some sort of protection from bugs and stuff. And then you pass the wires through that. I forgot what they call it.
I didn't do that, Charlie. I didn't do none of that. But I had it professionally installed. The guy who did it, the guy who helped me, was Lou. KB2VPI, who does satellite dish installations for a living.
Yeah, okay. And how did he fill it in outside, you know, to keep anything from crawling in there?
I bought some stuff. It's called, what do they call it? Air duct sealant. It's used for HVAC. It's called air duct sealant, and Joe is the one that recommended to me. It's almost like a silly putty, and remains pliable. You can always pull it off whenever you need to. So, and it's good for 30 below zero up to like 120.
Jeez, I hope it doesn't get to 120. I'll have to have my air fixed. What the hell's going on over here? Okay, good, so you can pull it out, yeah. Now, is there room for another coax with the connector on it?
Yes, but I don't think LMR 400. It would have to be something smaller.
Well, even the smaller stuff, the coax will be thinner, but the connector will still be the same size.
I know. but it will make things a lot easier because it's not going to have to be really pushed in that hard. You know, I think the connector is no problem. And, I mean, I would probably be able to put LMR 400, but I was thinking I would go with a smaller grade.
Yeah, you could probably, for HF, you could probably get away with RG8X. You're not going to have a big long run. That's what I've used for my HF station, and it works fine. And you're not running a kilowatt or anything. I think your best bet, though, would be to put the connector on in the house. Have you ever put on a connector?
I wish you could do it for me.
Yeah, okay, well, that's not my forte, but yeah, I could do it for you. It'll be in the house, so it doesn't have to be perfect. You know, you don't have to worry about the weather sealing and everything because it's in the house.
Yeah, and then we'll string up the wire. And I can always make up some baloney story. Like, more or less, my story would be something along the lines of, you know what, the antennas, if they get struck by lightning, they would have, like, caused the house to go on fire. But because of that wire that I put up, that wire, what that does is, if those antennas get hit, it transfers it to the wire, and then the wire safely just fizzles away and the house doesn't burn down. It's like a safety mechanism.
KC2HPR N1MUQ. Hope that doesn't backfire on you and you scare the hell out of your mother and she tells you to take everything down.
KC2HPR. No, I don't think ever would get that drastic. Because she knows that I'm not, you know, like a beginner at this. So she knows that I got all bases covered. But I think that would be a good idea. What do you think of that one, Charlie?
Yeah, I won't buy it, but I'm sure your mother might. Outside of your window, is there a tree like 30 feet away?
Roger.
Because I'm still thinking of this NFED antenna. It'll limit the amount of work to do for it, and, you know, it won't be as obtrusive as something else. Your mother might not even notice it.
Yeah, but does the SAM thing get out, and does it cover multiple HF bands, or is it mono band?
No, they have one that does 40 through 6. You won't get 80 on it, but you'll get 40 through 6.
Oh, that's pretty good, but does the thing get out? More important.
That's what I got to find out. Like I said, I'm building the 20 meter version. Oh, yeah, geez, I wish you were on the internet. I could send you the link to the site and you could check it out. But yeah, I'll do more research. The one thing I haven't done is look them up on a review and see if they have anything reviewed on these antennas. But they always pop up on eBay. They're always being sold on eBay, and everybody seems to like them.
KC2HBR. Now, what do you need to feed it with? Do you need to feed it with coax, or can you, or do you have to feed it with ladder line?
No, you feed it with coax. You build the matching section, which goes in a plastic box, and that's got the toroid, and, you know, it matches the antennas, or it reduces the antenna's impedance. It transforms it to 50 ohms, so your radio will be happy with it. At the bottom of the box is the connector. You connect your coax to that and then go to the radio. And at the top of the box is a wing nut. You undo that and you put your wire on that. And then you screw down the wing nut and then you just run the wire out. I don't remember how long it was for 40 meters. I believe they're half-wave antennas, so I think it's like 66 feet, something like that. I'm not sure, though. I got to check. You can use it with or without a tuner. The 40-meter one, 40 through 6, I think you need a tuner to get all the bands. But you have a tuner in the radio, right?
Yes, I do. Yes, I most certainly do.
What I'll do is I'll print out some of the information and I'll mail it off to you, and you can take a look at it. But don't do anything until I get my version up and running. I want to see how it plays.
tell you why I want to do this more than any other reason. KC2HBR here. The reason I want to do it more than any other reason is because the radio has two connections on the back of it for HF and 6, you know, and it's got the switch that I could switch between both antennas right in the front of the radio. So what I'm saying is, it's almost like it's begging me. It's like, John, what am I here for? Use me. Abuse me.
Yeah, no, I know what you mean. I've done my new antenna tuner, the LDG-AT200 Pro, has two connectors on the back. So I've got two antennas hooked up to it, and I just switch it from the front of the radio. So it works out pretty cool like that. Yeah, no, I don't blame you. Plus, it would be nice to have some sort of a wire up, even if it's just an NFET. But, in fact, when I park, let me look. I've got some literature in my car on this antenna. Let me see if it tells me how big the 40 through 6 meter one is. I don't think it's 66 feet, but I'll check. I'll let you know.
You know what? Honestly, it would be... What I would like is that it would be like opposite of what I have now. I have vertical polarization. That would be horizontal. And I wouldn't only be switching between antennas. I would be switching polarities, not only antennas. So it would be interesting. It would be really experimenting, taking it to a whole different level. You know, I've only had one antenna at a time because the radios that I've had in the past have not had... you know, five different connectors in the back of it like this one does. So, you know, now I'm like, yo, man, why not use it, you know?
Absolutely, absolutely. Yeah, it's nice to switch polarizations, you know, especially if you're on 40 meters. A lot of guys on 40 are on in mobiles, so it'd be nice to go from horizontal to vertical and vice versa. I know guys that run nets on 40 meters, an e-car's net, and they have both polarizations up because they're constantly working guys that are in mobiles, so they switch from the horizontal to a vertical antenna and they get the guy in better.
Roger, are you familiar with the Night Watch net?
Yes, I am.
A lot of those people that check in, they're in mobiles too, so, you know, I mean, that's an incredible little thing right there, that Night Watch thing. I like that. You know, all you have to do is check in and you're a member for life. There's no fees, no service contracts. There's a lot to like.
Yeah, I'm just looking over this paperwork. It doesn't say how big the, oh wait, here we go. I'll build one for you. Oh, that's a fully assembled 20 meter. The 20 meter is 33 feet long. I don't know what the 40-meter one is. 20-meter NFET antenna. I'll know more when I get home. Maybe I'll call you when I get home.
Hey, you know what? Call me in the afternoon if you can. Call me in the afternoon. And, you know, oh, that would be nice. And like I said, I got the perfect excuse. So just say, oh, that's a safety wire. You know, otherwise without that, the antennas, if they get hit, the house will burn down. This prevents that from happening.
Yeah, that may work. That may work. First thing I got to do is come to your house and take a look around and see what we're going to do before we do this. I mean, maybe I'll see something else and we can put up a full-size antenna, but probably not with your lack of trees.
Ali, you know what? Just between you and I, if I'm going to put something up, I want it to work. I want it to get out. I don't want to put up some baloney antenna. So, you know, I mean, I'm going to wait till you tell me what you think of your 20-meter version, and then we'll take it from there. We'll have you come over and check out the situation.
KT2HBR and 1MUQ, your bedroom's on the side of the house, the window, I take it.
It's not in the back. One is in the back and one is on the sides. My room is on the corner of the house. It has two windows. One is on the side of the house and one is in the back of the house. My antenna comes out the back. My coax comes out the rear of the house, right near the corner.
Oh, okay, that's what I meant to ask. I keep saying window, but we're not going in through the window. All right, so the feed-through for the coax cables is at the back of the house, facing the backyard.
Exactly, exactly. And the trees are on the side of the house, but they're city trees, mind you.
All right, if you look, if you peek,